Cars today are built to last, but how they look is up to you, and that's where Maaco comes in. They specialize in cosmetic repairs. Let's say it's affordable paint jobs to fixing those annoying dents and dings. Whatever it is, Maaco has you covered. With more Americans keeping their cars longer, now's the time to protect your investment and keep it looking sharp for years. Get started. Visit your local Maaco today. Get the free estimate and see how easy it is to bring new life to your ride. Uh-oh, better get Maaco.
When it comes to broccoli salad, Ohio, you got the secret ingredient on lock. Miracle Whip. Everyone from Toledo to Portsmouth knows that tangy zip. So here's to you for keeping it bold, keeping it zippy, and keeping Miracle Whip in all your favorite recipes. Buy now and get your tang on, Ohio. When it comes to broccoli salad, Ohio, you got the secret ingredient on lock. Miracle Whip. Everyone from Toledo to Portsmouth knows that tangy zip. So here's to you for keeping it bold, keeping it zippy, and keeping Miracle Whip in all your favorite recipes. Buy now and get your tang on, Ohio.
Midnight has passed, and in the stillness of these hours, the hauntings are never silent. This is Real Ghost Stories Online. After midnight.
This is the first time I've ever sat down and written about these experiences in detail. For years, I pushed them aside, laughed them off, or buried them deep in the strange but explainable part of my mind. But after what happened most recently, I can't keep dismissing them. There's a weight to it now, something that demands I look back and trace it all the way from the beginning. It started when I went to college in Philadelphia. Like so many students in that city, I lived in one of those tall, narrow row houses that looked like they had been standing there since the Civil War. The place sagged in odd ways, like it was exhausted from holding itself up for so long. The banisters were smooth from 100 years of hands, and the stairs groaned every time you shifted your weight. Even in daylight, the rooms seemed to soak up shadows instead of pushing them away. I wasn't the only one who thought there was something unusual about the house. My friends who lived there with me had their own stories. Footsteps in the hallway when everyone was in bed. Voices drifting down from the attic when it was locked. Sudden drops of cold air that made your breath show even in summer. The building carried its history in the walls, and sometimes it felt like the history pressed right up against you. My own experiences were subtle but constant. When I was alone, I'd hear doors open and close upstairs as though someone were moving around, only to find the rooms empty. The sound of footsteps following me up the staircase was so common that I almost got used to turning halfway around and finding nothing. The worst of it was the feeling like someone standing just out of sight, watching from the edges of the room. That feeling never really left. At the time, I brushed it off. Old houses creak, drafts slip through cracks, shadows shift. I kept telling myself it was nothing more than the quirks of a century-old house. But part of me always felt uneasy there, and deep down I knew the explanation didn't fit. After graduation, I moved to Wilmington, Delaware, into another old home. Compared to the row house, it seemed calm. For nearly 2 years, nothing out of the ordinary happened. I almost let myself believe I'd left those uneasy feelings behind in Philadelphia. But then quietly, the strangeness started again. It began in the kitchen. Small things at first, utensils sliding off the counter when no one was near them, food tumbling to the floor as though it had been nudged by an invisible hand. One night I walked in to find a wooden spoon lying in the middle of the kitchen tiles, though I knew I'd left it on the counter. Another time, I turned my back for just a minute and came back to see a bag of chips lying 3 feet away from where I'd left it. Then my dog's toys started appearing in odd places, not dropped randomly, but arranged, balanced on a windowsill, tucked neatly into a shoe, set carefully on the arm of a chair. At first, I laughed it off, joking that my dog was secretly a genius, but as the pattern continued, I couldn't escape the truth. There was no way he could have done those things. When a friend moved in, the activity seemed to shift toward him. He'd walk out of a room, and the light would flick off behind him. He'd step into the basement, and the washer or dryer would start rumbling, though no one had touched the buttons. He started to dread going down there. It wasn't just me anymore. And then there were the other signs. My dog would suddenly bark at corners of the room, his hackles raised, teeth bared, as if something invisible was standing there. Doors closed on their own, never slamming dramatically, just shutting firmly, as though someone had pushed them. One of my roommates saw it too. He swore he caught the flicker of a shadow crossing a mirror, darting past in an instant. His face went pale, as he told me, and the tremor in his voice made me believe him. The incident that sealed it for me happened late one night. I came home to find my dog going absolutely wild at my bedroom door. He was barking, growling, his claws scratching the wood. Just as I reached for the knob, the door slammed shut with a force that rattled the frame. I froze. My hand hovered in the air, but every instinct screamed not to go inside. Later, I laughed about it with my roommates. We gave the presence a name, Charlie. It made it easier to joke about. Charlie must have dropped the spoon. Charlie's playing with the light switch again. But the laughter was thin, brittle. Underneath it, we all felt the same unease. Eventually, I moved back in with my parents for a while, thinking a familiar home might mean a fresh start. Instead, that's when the experiences shifted into something stranger. Something I couldn't just label as Charlie messing around. That's when the dreams began. When I moved back in with my parents, I thought the unease might finally stop. It was my childhood home, after all. The one place I should have felt safe. But what started happening there wasn't a haunting in the traditional sense. It was something more intimate, more personal, and in some ways, more unsettling. I began to dream about my grandfather. He'd passed away a few years earlier, and in life, he'd been a steady, quiet figure. But these dreams weren't like normal dreams. They didn't fade as soon as I woke up. They clung to me, sharp and vivid, like memories I hadn't lived myself. In the dreams, he would talk to me directly. He'd tell me things about the family, regrets he carried, truths he never voiced when he was alive. He gave me messages to pass on to my aunts and uncles, words he wanted them to hear, even though he was gone. At first, I didn't know what to do with it. I didn't want to scare anyone, didn't want them to think I was making things up, but the dreams pressed on me until I finally told them, and their reactions told me everything I needed to know. Faces went pale, eyes filled with tears. They told me the things he said were real, things I had no way of knowing. That shook me more than anything I'd experienced so far. This wasn't Charlie tipping over a spoon in the kitchen. This was my grandfather reaching across whatever divide separates the living from the dead. I couldn't dismiss it anymore. Something was happening. Not long after, I moved back to Philadelphia, this time into another old row house with friends. I told myself it would be different this time. But within 2 weeks, the strange activity began again, and this time it fixed itself almost entirely on one place, the third floor where I lived. The bathroom up there had a skylight that filled the room with a strange pale glow during the day. At night, the shadows deepened in the corners until it felt like the light couldn't quite reach them. Wasn't the sort of room you wanted to linger in. The first sign came about a week and a half after moving in. One of my roommates was awake late, and around 3 a.m, he heard the bathtub turn on. The sound of running water echoed through the pipes. He assumed someone was using it, rolled over, and went back to sleep. But when he left for work a few hours later at 7 a.m, the water was still pouring. No one admitted to turning it on. No one had even been awake. A few days later, I came home to find the bathroom in complete disarray. Everything that had been on the sink or the edge of the tub, shampoo bottles, a hairbrush, even a framed picture, was now inside the sink or scattered in the tub. It looked like someone had swept an arm across every surface and tossed everything inward. I wanted to believe it was the wind, but the night had been still, the air outside stagnant. The windows had barely been cracked. Then came the night of the party. My brother was visiting, and he went upstairs to use the bathroom. And because of the way the house leaned, the bathroom door always closed on its own when left ajar. It was just gravity and the slant of the floor. But when he walked inside, the door did the opposite. It swung open wider, as if pushed. He came back downstairs puzzled, telling me about it. Later that same night, I went up to use the bathroom myself, and the door behaved exactly as it always had, closing slowly behind me. The inconsistency made it hard to laugh off. It felt deliberate. Still, I told myself I could live with it. Lights turning on, doors moving, things out of place. I'd seen it all before. But then came the day that changed everything. I'd stayed home from work to catch up on chores and decided to finally clean the bathroom. It was the middle of the day, sunlight pouring in through the skylight, the house quiet around me. I poured the last of a drink down the sink, set the glass on the counter, and stood there for a moment thinking about what to tackle next. That's when the light fixture above me exploded. There was no warning, no hum, no flicker, just a sudden, violent shattering. Glass rained down around me, sharp shards bouncing off the sink, the tile, my shoulders. A piece sliced into my hand. I jumped back, clutching the cut, blood welling between my fingers. The lights hadn't even been on. There had been no trucks passing outside, no vibrations to shake the fixture. I hadn't been moving. I was standing still when it happened. I stood frozen in the wreckage, glass crunching under my shoes, blood dripping down my wrist. For the first time, I felt something more than fear. I felt targeted. Whatever this was, it wasn't just coincidence anymore. When I told my roommates, they laughed nervously, trying to write it off as bad wiring or an old bulb. But the laughter rang hollow. They could see it in my face that this wasn't like the other incidents. This one had crossed a line. That was the day I stopped brushing things aside. I knew something in that house was real, and it wasn't just playing games anymore. After the light bulb exploded, everything changed. Up until that moment, I'd been able to rationalize, or at least pretend to. But standing in that bathroom with blood on my hand and shards of glass scattered across the floor, I couldn't tell myself it was coincidence anymore. Something was happening in that house, and it wasn't benign. I started with the practical steps. I called an electrician to inspect the wiring. He replaced the fixture, checked the circuits, and tested every outlet on the third floor. His verdict was maddening. Everything was fine. There was no reason for the bulb to burst. A plumber came next, confirming the pipes were old but functional. The mysterious bathtub episodes weren't caused by pressure or faulty valves. One by one, the professionals crossed off the logical explanations, leaving me with nothing but unease. So that's when I bought motion sensor cameras. I set them up in the bathroom and hallway, half hoping to catch something, half hoping to prove myself wrong. At first, the footage showed nothing unusual. Roommates walking past, the dog sniffing at the door, shadows moving as cars passed outside. But soon, the anomalies began. The cameras would trigger with no one in view. Some clips were washed out entirely. The frame filled with sudden white light that vanished as quickly as it appeared. Other times, a haze drifted across the lens like smoke curling in the air, and once, just once, the frosted glass of the bathroom door showed a darker shape moving behind it when the room was empty. I started keeping a log, date, time, weather, who was home, what happened. It was tedious, but it gave me something concrete. Fear can distort memory, can turn seconds into hours and whispers into screams. Writing it down kept me honest. The strangeness wasn't confined to me anymore. Friends noticed it too. A roommate's girlfriend refused to use the bathroom after the door swung shut behind her, without a breeze to explain it. Another friend swore she saw a figure slide across the hallway mirror. They looked at me with the same pale, unsettled expression. I knew I wore myself. It was both terrifying and validating. Eventually, I reached out to a local paranormal researcher. He spent 3 nights in the house, equipment lined along the hallway. His readings unsettled me more than I expected. He captured unexplained light spikes, distorted audio that warped into static when no one had spoken, and electromagnetic surges near the bathroom door with no wiring to account for it. He didn't declare the house haunted, but he admitted he had no explanation. That honesty was almost worse than a definitive answer. Meanwhile, my own life was unraveling. Sleep became scarce. I'd lie awake listening for the next sound, the next thud or scrape. Panic attacks hit me in the middle of the day, leaving me trembling and breathless. The sense of being watched grew constant, like eyes tracking me from the corners of the ceiling. Therapy became my anchor. My counselor didn't dismiss me outright. Instead, she helped me manage the fear, grounding techniques, breathing exercises, routines to keep me tethered to reality. It didn't solve the haunting, but it kept me from dissolving under the weight of it. I turned to ritual, too. My grandmother came to bless the house, her voice steady as she prayed through each room. I tried burning sage one night, walking from corner to corner as the smoke curled through the dim light. For a while, it felt like the air lightened, the weight lifted, but the calm never lasted long. The activity changed tone as time went on. Sometimes it felt almost playful, mugs appearing in odd places, sprinklers turning on in the middle of the night. But other nights, it turned darker. Dreams haunted me, of a boy standing at the foot of my bed, grinning too wide, his teeth too sharp, of a pale woman dropping silently to the floor and lying still. I'd wake gasping, heart pounding, convinced for a moment that they were still there in the room with me. The longer I lived there, the more I realized this wasn't something that would simply vanish. It wasn't tied neatly to one house or one city. It followed me, shifting form but never leaving entirely. I learned to live with it, setting my own rules. Lights left on at night, my phone charged, and close friends who knew to check in when I traveled. Small shields against something I couldn't understand. What unsettles me most isn't the fear itself. It's the questions that linger with no answers. Was Charlie the presence from Wilmington the same as the force on the third floor in Philadelphia? Was it something attached to the houses themselves or something attached to me? Was my grandfather truly reaching out in those dreams, or was something else wearing his face to get close to me? And then there's the darkest thought of all. If something can shatter glass over my head in broad daylight, what else can it do? I don't have answers. I may never have them. What I know is this. Once you've lived with shadows that move, with doors that think for themselves, with light that turns violent, you can't go back. You can't unlearn the weight of eyes on you when you're alone. You can't tell yourself the world is ordinary. And you can't ever laugh it off again.
Want more real ghost stories? Then press subscribe now so you don't miss any of the multiple new ghost stories we drop for you every day. Only here at Real Ghost Stories Online.
When it comes to broccoli salad, Ohio, you got the secret ingredient on lock. Miracle Whip. Everyone from Toledo to Portsmouth knows that tangy zip. So here's to you for keeping it bold, keeping it zippy, and keeping Miracle Whip in all your favorite recipes. Buy now and get your tang on, Ohio. Truth is, Ohio, when it comes to broccoli salad, you got the secret ingredient on lock. Miracle Whip. You know it. Your neighbors know it. Heck, everyone from Toledo to Portsmouth knows it. That tangy zip of Miracle Whip is the reason why Ohio's broccoli salad runs circles around everybody else's and never gets winded. So here's to you for keeping it bold, keeping it zippy, and keeping Miracle Whip right where it belongs, in all your favorite recipes. Buy Miracle Whip at your local grocery store and get your tang on, Ohio. Truth is, Ohio, when it comes to broccoli salad, you got the secret ingredient on lock. Miracle Whip. You know it. Your neighbors know it. Heck, everyone from Toledo to Portsmouth knows it. That tangy zip of Miracle Whip is the reason why Ohio's broccoli salad runs circles around everybody else's and never gets winded. So here's to you for keeping it bold, keeping it zippy, and keeping Miracle Whip right where it belongs, in all your favorite recipes. Buy Miracle Whip at your local grocery store and get your tang on, Ohio. Truth is, Ohio, when it comes to broccoli salad, you got the secret ingredient on lock. Miracle Whip. You know it. Your neighbors know it. Heck, everyone from Toledo to Portsmouth knows it. That tangy zip of Miracle Whip is the reason why Ohio's broccoli salad runs circles around everybody else's and never gets winded. So here's to you for keeping it bold, keeping it zippy, and keeping Miracle Whip right where it belongs, in all your favorite recipes. Buy Miracle Whip at your local grocery store and get your tang on, Ohio. Truth is, Ohio, when it comes to broccoli salad, you got the secret ingredient on lock. Miracle Whip. You know it. Your neighbors know it. Heck, everyone from Toledo to Portsmouth knows it. That tangy zip of Miracle Whip is the reason why Ohio's broccoli salad runs circles around everybody else's and never gets winded. So here's to you for keeping it bold, keeping it zippy, and keeping Miracle Whip right where it belongs, in all your favorite recipes. Buy Miracle Whip at your local grocery store and get your tang on, Ohio. When it comes to broccoli salad, Ohio, you got the secret ingredient on lock. Miracle Whip. Everyone from Toledo to Portsmouth knows that tangy zip. So here's to you for keeping it bold, keeping it zippy, and keeping Miracle Whip in all your favorite recipes. Buy now and get your tang on, Ohio. Truth is, Ohio, when it comes to broccoli salad, you got the secret ingredient on lock. Miracle Whip. You know it. Your neighbors know it. Heck, everyone from Toledo to Portsmouth knows it. That tangy zip of Miracle Whip is the reason why Ohio's broccoli salad runs circles around everybody else's and never gets winded. So here's to you for keeping it bold, keeping it zippy, and keeping Miracle Whip right where it belongs, in all your favorite recipes. Buy Miracle Whip at your local grocery store and get your tang on, Ohio. Truth is, Ohio, when it comes to broccoli salad, you got the secret ingredient on lock. Miracle Whip. You know it. Your neighbors know it. Heck, everyone from Toledo to Portsmouth knows it. That tangy zip of Miracle Whip is the reason why Ohio's broccoli salad runs circles around everybody else's and never gets winded. So here's to you for keeping it bold, keeping it zippy, and keeping Miracle Whip right where it belongs, in all your favorite recipes. Buy Miracle Whip at your local grocery store and get your tang on, Ohio. When it comes to broccoli salad, Ohio, you got the secret ingredient on lock. Miracle Whip. Everyone from Toledo to Portsmouth knows that tangy zip. So here's to you for keeping it bold, keeping it zippy, and keeping Miracle Whip in all your favorite recipes. Buy now and get your tang on, Ohio.
Chances are you've been to the doctor recently, and you probably handed over your insurance, your ID, and even your social security number. Your doctor is just one of many places that has your personal info. And if any of them accidentally expose your details, you could be at risk for identity theft. LifeLock monitors millions of data points a second. If you become a victim, they'll fix it, guaranteed, or your money back. Save up to 40% your first year. Call 1-800-LIFELOCK and use promo code IHEART or go to LifeLock.com/IHEART for 40% off. Terms apply.